We're going to read Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 46. It's going to be our principal passage this morning as we continue on in our relationship series, talking about the church. This is what we read in Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 46. It says, "While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, 'Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?' And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" The cord of family has always run thick, passing on an inheritance, sticking up for a weak cousin, a nepotism in the workplace. These are all examples of this almost innate bond that we have to our family. And so Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 12, I think, are quite revolutionary. They almost come off a little disrespectful. I mean, it's not just that he tells his brothers to wait for him. I mean, who can blame a guy for making his brothers wait an extra 15 or 20 minutes? I mean, his mom shows up. His mom wants to see him. And he tells his mom to take a chill pill. Like, come on, don't diss mom. And so what Jesus says and does is very important for us as we think about our relationship with God's people. Jesus looks at his disciples, those people who have decided to follow him and learn his way, the people who have decided to sacrifice and work for his kingdom. He looks at them and he says, "Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus is helping us redefine life and relationships within his kingdom. And what he's showing us now is that when we're called into the life of God by his gracious invitation through Jesus Christ, by what Jesus Christ has done on that cross to cover our sins and to welcome us into God's presence, all empowered by the Spirit of God, what we're seeing is that we become a part of a new family. This is why when you read your New Testament, you keep seeing people who follow Jesus referred to as brothers and sisters in Christ. I think part of what sounds disrespectful in Jesus' statement is that it seems like he's favoring one group or another, or picking his spiritual family over his immediate family. And for some of us, no person, no group is more important than our immediate family. If you remember just a couple of Sundays ago when we were preaching on our family, our relationship to our family, we learned that God has called us to have this enduring responsibility to our family. In fact, this responsibility is so significant that the Apostle Paul says to deny or to ignore or to close your heart to your immediate family, he says you're worse than an unbeliever if you do that. So that's a really big deal. So don't think that Jesus now is advocating that we become now disinterested or unloving to our immediate family. That's not what he's saying at all. But what Jesus is teaching here is profound, and we need to spend some time reflecting on what he's saying, especially those of us who maybe have a really strong family-first mentality. Because Jesus' words are challenging our familial priorities and commitments. I do think that Jesus is teaching that there is a bond that we have with our fellow followers of Jesus that goes even deeper than the bond that we share with our immediate families. That what unites us within the Church of Jesus Christ is stronger than earthly bonds. And for some of us, that's just really hard to accept, really hard to imagine, because we do everything with our families. We love our families, they love us, we support one another, we care for one another. Hey, and we should do all those things. You know, sometimes rare situations happen where the strife or the sin within family dynamics is so significant that we have to have this kind of almost permanent separation from family. But most of the time, we remain in a strong, close relationship with our families, and that's the way it should be. Though I bet that some of you have experienced what I'm talking about. That you have this deep spiritual bond with your church family that you don't have with your immediate family. You are the first, maybe still the only, in your family who has come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have come to see that your rebellion to God, your brokenness before God, is your biggest problem. And you've also come to see God's amazing love for you, that he sent his son to die on a cross to cover your sins so that you can be restored back into a relationship with him. And that beauty of Christ and of God is more beautiful than 1,000 sunsets over the Pacific Ocean. And you're also, though, recognizing that your family does not share that vision of Christ with you. And they can't because they have not experienced this new life from God. And so you hope and you pray for your family as you should. But you've come to discover that what you truly need in life, encouragement in Christ, wisdom of God, nourishment of your soul, your family cannot provide because they do not share your faith in God. They provide many other things, and praise God for that. But at the same time, they can't provide the things that you need. But you have found this encouragement in Christ, this wisdom of God, this nourishment for your soul in another family, your church home. And you discover that you have a home with them that you never thought you'd find. And they care for you as if they were family, and you care for them too. But here's what God is telling you this morning. It's not as if they were your family. They are your family. They are your spiritual family in Christ. And what binds you together, what binds all of us together within the body of Christ, is stronger than blood. It's stronger than the legal paperwork of adoption. It's stronger than DNA. Friends, it is supernatural. It is the power of God. Now, may I just say, isn't it a blessing when our immediate family is also our spiritual family? Isn't that a joy? What a gift. And I know many of you are thankful for that gift, and many of you pray that that happens more in your family. And so, friends, it's so important that we start this discussion about our relationship with our church family here. Because I want to spend a good deal of the rest of our time talking practically about what we can do on a daily, weekly, even yearly basis to experience the blessing of our church family. But you got to get this right. And what I mean by this is you got to think right. You got to believe what's true. Because right action, friends, right behavior flow from right thinking and right faith. And so you got to start there. And that's how I want to make a transition now. And like I did with family a couple of weeks ago, I want to give you a guiding word that should inform your relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that word is blessing. Okay, get that word in your head, blessing. I think the scriptures tell us that we should be a blessing, and we also need to receive the blessing in our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I get that idea primarily from the one another passages in the New Testament. Now, what do I mean by one another passages? Well, 59 times in the New Testament, We are commanded within the body of Christ to do something or to be there for one another within the body. 59 times. So one of the things that implies is that the church of Jesus Christ, and let's just remind ourselves, we are the church of Jesus Christ. This building is not the church. Your pastors, your leaders are not the church. You are the church. We together comprise the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And so all of us together are the church, and get this now, we live our lives in relationships of blessing with one another. I think that's God's design. I think God designs this church in such a way that we can live our lives in a relationship of blessing with one another. Now, let me give you some examples of some of these one another commands. Of these 59 one another passages, there are a few themes that emerge. Or maybe, I wouldn't say theme, maybe we see certain commands repeated or offered in a variety of ways. And so, for example, the most frequently given one another command is this: love one another. I didn't count how many times, but it's well over, I think it's close to a dozen. Almost a dozen times we're told to love one another. And it's said in a variety of ways, as it says on the screen here. Love one another like 1 John 3, or keep loving one another earnestly. I love that. Keep doing it, like you got to keep deciding to do it. Because sometimes there's reasons you're like, I don't know if I want to love this person anymore. And even earnestly. Like you gotta, there's gotta be this unction in you, in your heart. Or may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another. So may God keep building it in us. Love that. Another command we see repeated is this: encourage one another. I've been really thinking a lot about encouragement. How much we need encouragement in our life. I wish I was a better encourager. I wish I was. So I'm so glad Pastor Tim taught that practicing affirmation class the last 8 weeks or so. I think we all could get better at encouraging one another. And again, about a half dozen times in the New Testament, we see this command to encourage one another. Here it is, Hebrews chapter 10, encourage one another. Encourage one another and build one another up. I love that image of building somebody up. Or exhort one another daily. Exhorting is a way of encouraging through truthful speech. And along with these repeated one another commands are a number of them that you hear one time. You know, like confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. Or bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another. Finally, bear one another's burdens. I'm thinking of Pearl Huber right now. How could we bear with Pearl, her burden? How could we carry the load that she is now experiencing? Love these images. I have compiled a list, or better said, Mary compiled the list for me this week. All 59 of those one another passages. There's a printout of it all at the Welcome Center. So if you'd like a copy of every one another passage, all 59 of those, from the New Testament, you could pick that up at the Welcome Center. It'll also be online when we put up the sermon, probably on Tuesday. There'll be a link also there for that document. Get familiar with these one another passages. Go in your Bible and read the context of them to get a full idea of those commands. Now, I want to suggest to you that there are two prerequisites, if you will, to practice and experience the blessing of being a church family. Two prerequisites. I want to call it Community 101, Community 201. And Community 101, I would say, is integration. To truly be blessed and to be a blessing to your church family, you need to be integrated. And what I mean by that is you need to be connected. You need to be involved within your local church. Let me tell you a quick story. Ben and Carrie just moved into town. So much of their life is new. They've recently graduated college. They've started new jobs in this new community. And they just got married not even a year ago. And they want to make sure that they begin their new life with faith very much at the center of their relationship. And while it takes some courage, they decide to start attending the local church near them. And at first, it seems it's exactly what they're looking for. The people are friendly, the music is encouraging, and the preaching connects to their daily lives. And it's working. Like, they're growing in their faith, they're growing in their relationship with one another. And as they attend Sunday after Sunday, you know, they read in the bulletin or they hear in the service about these opportunities to keep growing, like going to a Bible study or attending a seminar. But they're a little shy, and so they usually decline. They also hear about these chances to serve, but they don't respond. And while everybody's still friendly, they haven't really gotten to know a lot of people. I mean, they've introduced themselves and others have introduced themselves to them, but they haven't really made friends. And so they're still kind of waiting to get invited to go out for lunch after church. Or they've always said, well, you know, do you think we should ever have someone over for a game night? But they never do. And as time goes on, you know, their experience at church changes a little bit. It's not so helpful like it was at first. And over time, Ben and Carrie, they just stop coming. And sadly, nobody really notices. Friends, that's not so uncommon. Statistically speaking, the failure to connect, the inability to get integrated into the life of a church is one of the top reasons why people stop attending after a few years. And I'll just be honest, I don't want that for us. I don't want that for you. Part of the blessing we are searching for in our faith comes through one another. And so when we miss that, when we never get it, it's not surprising that we would be discouraged from keeping on coming. And friends, you won't experience the blessings of serving one another in love. That's Galatians 5. Welcoming one another the way Christ has welcomed you. That's Romans 15. Or building one another up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Friends, how can you experience those blessings if you're not connected? If you're not involved or integrated within the family of God? You can't. You can't. And so I think this begs a couple of responses. The first response, I think, is for all of us as the body of Christ. Friends, I think it is so important for us as a church family to make sure we are opening up our lives, we are opening up spaces, ministries, to help people get connected as much as possible. It's hard coming to a new church, isn't it? I mean, I think, Corby and I were just with the boys, we were in Tampa, Florida, we went to a new church. I didn't know where to go, didn't know where to park, didn't know if I was sitting in someone's seat, didn't know how long the pastor was going to preach. I didn't like being so new. It felt uncomfortable. And so if you are a new person here at First Baptist, I am so thankful to God for you, that God is building courage in you to take that first step. And so First Baptist, we ought to do everything we can to make sure we extend the warmth and welcome of Christ to help people get integrated. We don't want to push them, but we want to make sure that they're welcomed. Imagine you. All of us had a first time here. Imagine what it was like for you. What was helpful? What was helpful for you to become integrated into the body of Christ? And then I want to encourage you to do that for others. Do that for others. The second, though, response that I think this begs is for those of you who are newer, right? And I just want to say this, some more courage is probably going to be needed. Some more courage is probably going to be needed. You took that first step. I'm so glad you did. but you probably have a few more steps to take, okay? So ask God to build courage in you at the right time to go to that Bible study or to attend the Sunday school hour. You know, for some of you, maybe you've been around here for a little bit and you're watching the ushers, you're watching the other volunteers and you're thinking, well, maybe I could do that. And you hear that call for volunteers, maybe you want to take that step and say, well, I'll sign up and see if I can serve. You know, when you serve with other people, there's just something about that that helps you connect with them. There's something about working with others that brings that bond together. And maybe, you know, maybe you're waiting or hoping that someone might invite you over to their home for a game night or for out to lunch sometime. Well, don't be bashful to ask them to. They might be feeling the exact same way you do. So I just want to encourage you, don't wait. Don't wait in a quarter wondering when's it going to happen. Chances are you're going to have to take some initiative as well, and we're going to do everything we can to meet you as you take that step. Now, let me briefly talk about what I call Community 201. It's a step beyond integration. It's a step that encourages a little deeper connection with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. In Paul Tripp's book, Broken Down House, it's one of my favorite books. I really commend it to you. Paul Tripp, Broken Down House, here it is. In this book, Mr. Tripp encourages a kind of community that he calls intentionally intrusive. Let me tell you what he means by that. He says, intentionally intrusive means I have invited fellow Christians to intrude into the private spaces of my life in order to help me see myself with biblical accuracy. This does not mean I gush out my sin to everyone who comes my way. That wouldn't be helpful to anyone. But I must be in some kind of web of godly, intentional relationships that can produce the personal insight I so desperately need. Here's what I believe to be true. Friends, unless I specifically invite and give permission to a brother to kindly, lovingly encourage me, hold me accountable in my relationship with Christ, I'm most likely not going to get that from a brother. My brother is most likely going to mind his P's and Q's. He's most likely going to mind his own business and not provide me the kind of encouragement and accountability that I really need. You know, our spiritual life, our character, that's a pretty intimate part of who we are. And that means we're pretty picky about who we let in. And we also recognize other people are pretty picky about that too. And you know what, friends? That's right. We all should be picky about that. Remember, Tripp implied you ought not just to open up the most vulnerable parts of who you are to anyone and everyone. That's not right. And so this is not some invitation for us to all be kind of prodding into other people's lives. That's not what this is. What I'm trying to encourage us to think about is opening up ourselves to that one brother or sister, that second brother or sister, to provide the kind of encouragement and accountability that we need. There is a right kind of guarding ourselves that we have. There's a right kind. But here's the deal. If you guard yourself with everyone, you'll never be known. You'll never be in that relationship that you need to be in with another person or two that can provide you with the kind of help that you need. So think about that. Those of you who've been around for a while, you are integrated. You are a part of the life of this church. But do you have a brother or two that you know they'll come and find you if you get off track? And you want them to. And you're willing and you're able to be open and honest with them, and they're going to care for you and love you. They'll never use the broken part of you against you. They're only there to help you. And so I just want to ask you, as we think about what it means to be a part of a church family, what do you need to do to be a blessing and to receive the blessing? I think for some of you, maybe it's about integration. It's about becoming more involved in the life of First Baptist. You're here. Love it. So glad. But you know what? You need more than just showing up, okay? You need more than just to hang out on the sidelines. We can do that for a while. It's good to do. It's good to hang out on the sidelines for a while to kind of get a lay of the land. But eventually, we got to stop saying not today or not for me. We need to start finding ways to connect with other people within the body. And you know what? Again, we're going to do everything we can to help you as you do that. And others of you, some of you are integrated. We got to take that next step of going a little bit deeper with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Next week, in fact, when we're going to talk about friendship and how important good, godly friendship is for our faith journey. And so I'm excited to share God's word with you in that way too. And so, friends, this is what it looks like to be in relationship with God's church, to be a blessing and to receive the blessing. That's God's word for us today.